AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hello, everyone. It's your girl, Devin Simone.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira, and this is MTV's official challenge podcast.
Welcome back! Today, we're covering episodes 5 and 6 of The Challenge Free Agents.
And remember, you can watch The Challenge Free Agents along with us right now for free. Go to ParamountPlus.com and use code CHALLENGEPOD to try 1 month free.
Don't say we don't ever give you anything, because we do. We're also going to give you a lot in this interview.
Yes.
We have the incomparable Dr. Ooh, Anissa, say it in an accent. Can you say his name in an accent?
I'm gonna get in trouble for all these accents. We have Dr. Frank Fox, formerly known as just Frank Sweeney, but we have him here today. We are pleased to welcome him to the podcast.
We are, and we're actually gonna save our recap for that because Dr. Frank had some notes. So
yes,
we're going to get into it, episode 5 and episode 6. But before we get into that interview, you know, we got to talk about, the moment of the episode, the flashback moment, and the thing we want to leave in the past, and any fashion corner moment. So Nini, I'm going to kick it over to you.
I should write these down before we get here, so I'm not pondering. Mm-hmm. Well, you won.
Yeah.
Which was nice. I don't know if this was your first daily win. As a solo person,
yes, it was.
Okay, well, then I'll give this one to you, Devin.
Thanks.
Because it seemed that no one else, at every brain cell that we could have had, you just had. Only you had a brain up there.
You know, I give it all to Tamara. Was wearing her that day, and I feel like she knew.
She was your water wig.
She was my water wig, and she knew exactly what needed to be done to stay dry in that moment. Which was really great. I'm gonna have to, you know what? I think I'm gonna say that. Yeah, I'm gonna take that as the moment of the episode for me too, because I don't know that I ever
think you should. And give yourself a wedding gift, girl. And this is the gift that never stops, you know, because you can always look back and say, "I won trivia and I stayed
dry." That is true. That is very, very, very true. I appreciate that. Now, what's the moment that you? I feel like there are a few kind of potential leave in the pasters. What's the moment you would leave in the past?
A lot of the commentary by the people on this show. I would like to leave it right in 2000 and whatever year this was. 12.
No, I think 14. You know, it's a mixed bag because some of the commentary is the funniest
it's
I think
incredible.
Of any challenge ever. Like
incredible.
The Leroy stuff, some of it's just hilarious.
He's so funny.
But then some of it is just
trash. I'm terrible. Like, whoa, calm down.
Yeah. I'll give you my leave in the past moment. I actually will leave in the past the way I handled the Teresa thing. And I never thought I'd say that, but just looking back, I feel like I stand by voting her in, but I feel like I probably could have communicated it differently. And she had every right to then be upset, even though I was reacting to her reaction. She had every right to be upset after that. And watching it back and watching the commentary, I give it that. Also, it's weird because in the interviews, it seems like I knew that I was a political player, but honestly, I don't remember. I was just surprised. Like I told Cara last week, week, every episode or every new day that I was still in the house, I was just as shocked as anybody else. So watching the interviews, wait, I mean, ask Jesus. I had a lot, there were a lot of voicemails that were left like, wow, well, thank you. This is neat. So I was shocked watching myself back saying like, oh, you know, I'm good at a political game. So I'm like, girl, since when? I don't know how. It's interesting. I just don't remember.
I just think it's in you. It's part of you. And I think that when you play like that, it's just natural. So it doesn't feel like you've done anything.
Yeah. It really, at the time, it didn't. So that was
before your time. You know what I mean? Maybe you should have ran for office in some capacity.
I'm not organized enough, but thank you for believing in me.
That's, you could just have an assistant.
That's fair. Now, what's your leave it in the past moment?
I don't even know.
Jasmine getting beat by Laurel so terribly.
I mean, yeah, I would love to never see that again.
That was pretty rough.
But what I would like to say something to that, it's like, we're not professional, like, fighters. You know what I mean? Like, we're not, like, doing this based on weight class. So it's kind of like, as unfair as it is, it's just, that's the game we play.
Yeah.
None of this shit is fair. Mm-hmm. So if we were all the same height, the same weight, the same athletic ability, well, we'd probably all be playing a sport. But we're not. So we're here because we need the dynamic. We need it to be different. So for listeners and fans of the show who are like, well, that's unfair. I'm like, yeah, it sucks. You know, like, one's very small, one's very tall. There's a weight difference, you know. But we've seen the upset, you know. We've seen anything can happen. And I know Jasmine was like, well, this sucks, but it's also like, good on you.
Yeah. Yeah. She put up a fight. Too. Yeah. She didn't give up. Yeah. Absolutely.
Some people would have been like, why are we even doing this shit? So,
yeah.
It's just, that's the game.
Yeah.
You know, as much as you want to leave it in the past, like, it's still a present and always be a recurring theme
that's
on
fair.
The show that you just get, bodies are different and you're going to get some people that are bigger than some other people. So,
that's 100% true. Were there any fashion corner moments for you in this episode?
I mean, listen, that's some shit I would like to leave in the past.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah. And I'm also leaving my frizzy, non-existent edges in the past. That deliberation hair, my edges, clearly, I had shown no love for a very long time.
They had a different idea.
Yeah, they really did.
Of what you wanted your hairstyle to be.
They did. I've been working on my relationship.
They were more rebellious than you were.
They were. Oh, it was a sight to see. Well, something else that's not a sight to see, but definitely a sight to listen to. Although, if you guys could peep Dr. Fox now, I'm talking about Dr. Frank Fox.
He is foxy. Dr. Foxy.
He really is. And smart, too. And just so fun. So we are excited for you to get in this interview. So grab a snack, grab a drink, go do whatever makes you feel good, as long as it's legal. And then stay right here for this fabulous interview that Anissa and I are about to have with the fabulous Dr. Frank Sweeney Fox.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
All right, folks, it's that time in the podcast where we get to interview, you know, a ghost from Christmas past, if you will. This person, I think, was an incredible castmate, a good friend, and definitely entertaining to watch. Now he has grown up, and he is Dr. Frank Fox. Welcome, the former Frank Sweeney, now Frank Fox, Dr. and still handsome as ever, to the podcast. I'm excited to have you. I haven't seen you in ages. You still look amazing.
Thanks, y'all.
Yes, you do. You guys, he has not aged literally a day. Like, I think you got hotter. Yeah, it's wild.
That's just Sarah at the clinic. She fills me up with all the things I need. So I'm good. but thanks, y'all. It's so good to see you. It really is a blast from the past.
It is.
Yeah. The artist formerly known as Frank Sweeney, now Frank Fox.
Right. Yeah. Did you cringe as much as we have watching these?
I mean,
like, ooh.
It's a time capsule, we'll say that, to be like, yeah, kind about it. But I will say, some of the folks' commentary, some of the boys' commentary does not age very well, does it? These boys.
No.
Yeah, clean them up.
Yeah, no. We said it then. Yeah. We were like, kind of having enough of this, like, bullshit. And then it's like, it really is like kind of like, ugh.
You know what? Call us crazy, call us whatever you will, but baby, doesn't it feel good to be on the right side of history? See you, boys.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
1,000%. I'm like, whew, I dodged a bullet there. And listen.
Yeah.
Could never happen now.
It was a lot. So fill in for those who don't know. We'll get into the episodes because we definitely want to hear your take and especially watching it back now, Dr. Fox. But fill us in on what you've been up to. What has life been? All the Kastomani people want to know because you are and were such an icon when you were competing on the challenge. And then you went on to kick butt in real life. So yeah, give us an update. What have you been up to?
Thanks, Devin. Just a bunch of moves here and there. So I was in LA for about 11 years. And in my time there, after I transitioned off the challenge, I went to grad school. I got my doctorate in physical therapy. I started a PhD program, but then I realized it's time to grow up and make some money. So I stopped halfway through that and started working getting that coin. And so I've been working as sort of like in healthcare consulting since then, with a little hand in research and clinical practice too. So it's always nice to just like keep that up. And I've since moved to Austin, Texas with my husband, Mr. Dan Fox, Mr. Sexy, Sexy Woo-hoo! Dan Fox.
Yes.
The two of us are here. We've got three tiny dogs just living our gay cowboy fantasy.
I love
that so much. Who do you, if any, do you keep in regular contact with from your days in the real world or the challenge world?
Yeah, I would say more so with like some of the real world girls, Priscilla and Alex, I definitely keep in touch with. We just like, you know, touch base every now and then, and they're wonderful. I would say, yeah, I don't know. Not for any issue of like malice or ill will. It's just been like life gets busy and you get torn away and you sort of like fall out of the circle. Yeah. And, you know, I think with some people that I was friends with by circumstance, like a Jordan or somebody like that, like when I was in LA, that was like, you know, more circumstantial and, you know, things naturally sort of like fall off.
Yeah. I also think we were filming a TV show, and in that moment, like watching back, Devin and I have talked about like how serious we thought things were, our friendships, fights, whatever. Like, then you grow up and you're kind of like, well, that was ridiculous and trivial and like kind of like juvenile. And
yeah,
as were like some of the friendships, they were built on like a trauma bond. And
yeah.
That's it. Not necessarily healthy, but it's definitely true. So
yeah, but I will say like, there's like, it's such a, like an innate joy that I have seeing the two of you right now that like, and maybe it is that like, that like trauma bond coming back and like really fleshing out IRL, but it's so good. Like, it does feel like, oh wow, like look at this thing that we survived in together and we made, mm-hmm. we like really made together. And as serious as it felt, we put ourselves out there in a really nuts way, right?
Yeah.
And that like
100%
being that vulnerable, like with, you know, the three of us were all friends, like being that vulnerable together yeah. is I mean, that is really special. So there's a real true no bullshit joy that I feel just like chatting with y'all right now.
Same. It's true. I feel like it's an experience that is unique, that only as much as we talk about it on a podcast or people watch shows or fans, that you can only really get when you're in it. Mm-hmm. It's like this, you know, and so, you know, that's true about being a part of kind of the Challenge Real World family anyway, but it's even more so, I think, when you share, you know, the only two challenges I'd ever done, Frank, you were on both of them. So it's like you share an even deeper, like kind of bond in that way, which is I think really neat, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, what wasn't neat this season was that Frank, I remember walking into the room and Frank was like, I'm sick. And just like under the covers, wrapped up like a burrito, not moving. And just like, I remember you just sleeping days away.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone knew what happened. Like, you just left. And I mean, clearly some people were devastated, myself included. But because I knew it was going to change the dynamic in the house, change the level of competition. But like, what actually, I mean, I know, but like, what actually happened for the viewers who and listeners who don't know, because you just disappear and they never say anything after.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I had pneumonia. It was like, I mean, y'all know we went down to Jose Ignacio or Punta del Este in Uruguay, which I just went back to this year, by the way. It is so chic. Like, so chic. The food was so good. It's like artsy. It's like all these Europeans coming in to go to the beach. It was so great. Highly recommend. Okay. Truly.
Yes.
I'm going back now.
But we were down there and it wasn't like it was off season in the fall, and it like wasn't quite the summertime there yet. And it was cold. I don't know if y'all remember. We did that
freezing.
Photo shoot and we were like shaking.
Yeah,
and I got pneumonia. And I was
That's
just like
wild.
Down for the count. I went to that hospital in Punta del Este, and I remember like as I speak Spanish, so I remember them talking and being like talking around me, and I was like, just like tell me what's going on to me, please.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, you've got pneumonia. You have to like, you cannot be like outside. You can't be in water. You can't be in the cold. You can't do any of this. You got to just like rest. And that just like wasn't going to work. Right. So,
yeah.
And TJ's like, Frank's highly contagious. I'm like, is it SARS? Like, what are we dealing with?
I know, right?
Oh, man. It was tough. It was tough to like be sick and then also like try to, you know, have fun, be there, be present, do the actual challenges. I remember one of the nights we like, I was only there for like, what, maybe like 2 weeks. And one of the nights we went out and I don't know, CT was being a dumbass. I don't know what he was doing. I just remember sitting on the bus and being like, please just stop fighting. I just want to go to sleep so bad. I'm like, I was like shivering and sick. And I was like, I get it.
But yeah.
Like, yeah, that was tough. It was tough.
Well, we had really late nights then too. It wasn't like now where they like check us out. They're like, okay, kids, like we partied then. Like it was so different.
We definitely, it was interesting too. I don't know if you guys noticed on the clips, but like people could have feuds in the house. People could be like, I hate you. I want to see you go in. And then it cuts to the party scene. And I'm pretty sure I saw Cara and Johnny doing shots together. And you see people who like hated each other in competition. It was like, everybody was cool and fine at the club. And then, you know, we went back out. That was also the year that Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball came out. Do you guys remember we watched that video on the projector screen in that club? I just remember being so impressed when Miley was on the Wrecking Ball. Remember how we were like on the top floor?
And we were always like, because we only went to Moby like, Dicks.
Yes,
Moby
exactly.
I called it Moby Clips.
That's where we were. That's where I sat on the bus for like 3 hours, and like Camilla was gonna like yelling in Portuguese. And
that was the night I got left on the back of the bus, Frank.
Yeah,
the same night you felt sick was the So many memories.
Well, Frank, it's
not
also
the,
because
not the back of the bus. Come on.
Yes, girl. I know Rosa Parks would not have been impressed, but I made it out alive.
Wait, but it's because Devin and I were also talking. It was a 2-hour ride.
Yes.
So not only. Remember?
not only that, but it was 2 hours there and back until we got on that little like barge situation where the guy had like the float.
There's a bridge there now, girl. Uh-huh. Literally, I was just there. Can confirm it took that long. We had to get on a barge to go across a lake or whatever it was.
The lake was the short, that was the shortcut, but not with the bus. It could only take the vans.
Wait, but you're saying there's a real bridge now.
There is
a
real bridge now.
Amazing.
Times have changed.
Yeah, I'm on the tourism board for Jose Ignacio Uruguay. Here I am.
I know, right?
actually, forget I said it. Redact. I want to keep it chic. Keep it
right? I was about to say.
I mean, but that's cute, though.
Have you...
I don't mind it. I'm going to visit.
Besides, like, jet setting and, like, doing great things, have you watched any of the challenge since you stopped?
Okay.
Okay. I know, that's a big one. I mean, it's been years.
No is my honest answer. And, like, I love reality TV. Like, I do. I, like... I took a minute after I left the show to, like, bounce back into it, I will say. Like, I didn't watch, like, any reality TV. Not, like, even The Housewives, anything like that at first. But I've since bounced back and bounced back hard. Just not necessarily to the challenge. I don't know what it is. It's just, like, tough to watch people who... And I don't know if y'all feel the same way. But people who I know sort of, like, still acting a fool. I know the cast has changed a bunch. I know the cast has changed a bunch. I know people have evolved.
And I hear you.
No shade. Like, I think like it would be super fun to keep doing it and have fun and keep going back and everything like that. But like your storyline, your narrative, your person in real life changes. It can also change on the show. Yeah. So like do the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Frank, when you did you watch the rest of Free Agent season back when it originally aired? Or you know, is this your first time rewatching with us? Is this your first time?
This is my first time seeing the episodes.
Yeah. Ooh, so wait, fresh Frank.
I really like I just like it was like a severance. I was just like, all right, yeah. Like I just didn't even nothing. I mean, you know, you basically watch when you get everybody's opinions online anyway. So like I'm like, I know how people feel about it. What do I gotta watch?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so then from your fresh take, okay, let's go into episode 5 where we have that like hanging rope challenge daily thing. Just not a fan of that.
For today's challenge, piggyback. You guys are going to be separated into 2 teams of 10. To begin, all 10 players are going to start on one platform. And when I say go, the first player is going to jump on the first rope. The second player is then going to use the first player as a human bridge to get to that second rope. The third player is going to do the same until all 10 players have their own rope.
When you watched that, Frank, did you think, like, before you saw how it ended or, like, how the teams did you kind of assume that that one, because it seemed like everyone there thought it would be relatively easy. Did you also think it would be easy just looking at it, or could you tell it was going to be a challenge?
I definitely thought it was going to be easy. I was surprised that it was so difficult. It reminded me of, like, I don't know if y'all ever did, like, Project Adventure in gym when you were in elementary school. Did y'all have it? It was called
What is it?
I don't know. Yeah,
when sounds it was so fun.
Adventure week, when it was Project Adventure week, it was so lit in elementary school. You basically like, it was like the challenge, but made for kids where they were like, all right, here's a tire and a board, build a bridge. And here's a net with a bunch of things, get out of it. That was like, oh man. I love
Oh, that's cool.
It sounds like some shit we do now.
Yeah, but that's what it reminded me of. I was like, oh, this is like Project Adventure Week. This is is going to be a cakewalk.
Except for the people that were cakewalking on your head.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was hard. I knew I was going to fall because I don't have upper body strength. I knew that.
I never denied
that. I look like it, but looks can be deceiving. And so I knew that was going to be a struggle from the jump. What we didn't know, I don't think, though, is Preston yet again. Really shining. I don't know if you saw the episode before, Frank, but Preston in the last couple episodes has been like the underestimated last picked one and yet has really kind of been essential.
Yeah.
I got thoughts. I think like again,
this
is a time capsule and we are looking back on it and we're not necessarily looking back with the same eyes as we felt in the moment.
Right.
And I'm looking back on it and I'm just like, oh, we did him so dirty. Just in general. Like the queer person, the person of color. Pick. We're just like last pick. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like the fact that there was just so abundant if you watch these episodes, it's
we get nutty. Killed off like a horror movie.
It's
we get weaponized yeah. every fucking time. Disposable.
I said that it's back crazy. Then. I made a clip of that once, not to do spoiler alert, but again, y'all should have watched this has been out for 10 years. when it gets down to the final black person, I made a video and I think they put it on MTV.com where I was like, why are all the black people gone? And I go through the list of how all the black people have been like annihilated. And it was, yeah.
It's crazy because I don't think any of us really thought about it in the moment, like to the point that I think about it now and like look
yeah.
at it.
Yeah.
You know, like with women, female winners and brown winners and queer winners, like, where are they?
We were loving subconsciously villainizing the other. We loved it back then. It was a thing. Like, you know, I mean, the one thing that I have watched back, because when I married my husband, he said, I gotta see an episode of The Real World. I said, okay, you can watch an episode. Mm. And when I watched it back, I was just like, oh, like what? Because I'm gay, this is the issue? Like, because I'm queer, because I'm other, this is the issue? And I was like, man, I really don't give a fuck about what I said or how I said it. My message was loud and clear, and y'all were wrong, baby.
So what are your thoughts on that point?
Sorry.
Yeah, no,
I was very curious to the reaction.
Yeah, it's probably a similar, yeah, I definitely want to know how your husband felt about it, but while you're here, Frank, your thoughts on Battle of the Seasons? Because there's been a lot and still is a lot of commentary around kind of to this point, right? And the communication and the things that were said and the treatment of some people on the show. And I just wonder with you and your mature eyes, what are your thoughts around, you know, look, I'm gonna just keep it straight. Your team and how your team communicated with each other and things you would or wouldn't do differently. Like, what do you think now?
Yeah, I think that there are so many levels to that. And I think a lot of it was beyond my like 23-year-old self at the time and like how I handled, I'll only speak for myself here, and how I handled like those relationships. I think I could have better, I know I could have better handled almost every situation with Sam. I sort of took advantage of her presentation as like this like very confident, like, you know, for what it's worth, like masculine presenting person. And I just like, was like, cool, even playing field, baby, let's go. Mm-hmm. It's not. There's like definitely differences in power and dynamics there that like were beyond my brain at the time, period.
Yeah.
So that's one.
Yeah.
And then two for that interaction. And then two, like, I think the way that I sort of became I don't know what the right word is here, but like almost like made myself lower than or submissive to Zach as sort of like an alpha male figure.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. Cause like really, who was leading the charge there? It was all me.
Yeah.
Like, he like, you know, gets the steam and he has the physical presence and he is the white straight dude just like doing it. And like, I sort of like acquiesced after being on The Real World with him and how fucking horrible he was. I sort of like acquiesced and was like, cool, let's just, you know, make nice. But I don't know that I should have made nice at the time. I don't know that I was ready to. It was just like again, 23-year-old me being like, let's do this. Let's make a show. Also, let's do well. So you're sort of in a forced position to do so.
Yeah.
But I also think like what you said before, like, how we our delivery I think is different now of like kind of, you know, picking and choosing our battles and like how we are to fight those battles, because it coming out of your 23-year-old mouth may seem way different than how you would present your arguments now and your level of confidence and your knowledge of self now versus then. So it's kind of like you could, like you said before, like you could have been saying all of the things, the, you know, all of the right things, just the wrong way. I mean,
yeah,
I am afraid to even watch her season of The Real World. I feel like that one was a hard one.
Ooh, she did not age well. But like, here's the thing, now that you're like empowered with, you know, now that all of us are empowered with like a little bit more forethought and a lot more maturity. Like, we can all still read a bitch and we can do it articulately.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's my favorite.
That's absolutely.
That's my favorite.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love it.
I feel like that was the thing that actually united the three of us in the house. I feel like that was like, I just remember like sometimes our little kikis and aside, and I'd come, even though I wasn't rooming in the room with you guys, I'd come like sit in the room with you guys and talk. And I feel like that was the thing.
Well, it was you, Zach, and who in your room?
Me, Zach, Teresa, you know, the one that I voted in, which we'll talk about this episode, and Chet, but Frank took Chet out day one. And I think but that was it.
We all down Zach, the end of that hallway.
Yeah.
We did have that.
You guys were the next room over. Mm-hmm.
Our neighbors.
Yeah.
We're and then it all just getting ready.
We were, well,
I was trying to get my weave together.
With Laurel and Jordan. And
they were bathroom buddies for real. Yeah. Any other
the real, the other type of bathroom buddies. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the episode, just because I know sometimes fans, they do want to hear our take and your take. And this is Frank watching it with fresh eyes. Amazing. Okay. So we see that challenge. We see that, I guess, Preston didn't grab both ropes. I remember being like nervous about how that was going to go because it was such a like kind of nail biter with the 4-4. And so then we get to the, you know, deliberation. And this is kind of the beginning of, you're starting to see the fissure between Jordan and Bananas.
This person is really big on tradition. He's a really good competitor. He's got a lot of famous speeches, but one of his most famous is, it's time for you to go in there and earn your stripes, Johnny.
I already got mine, buddy.
So my vote is for Johnny Bananas. We haven't seen you in elimination in quite some time.
All right, Bananas, come on up.
Jordan, of all people, a guy who's come into this house and done nothing, a guy who is full of false bravado, is now going to tell me that I need to earn my stripes. I mean, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
You're starting to see that dynamic. They're like laying the groundwork. What are your, and it's also very interesting watching it because this is like Jordan's, he's not a villain. I want to be clear. But if we can liken it to anything, you know how they say that every villain has their origin story? So you sort of see who they become. And so it's here you see Bananas being like, you haven't done anything. Like, you'll never do anything on this show. Always. And now we know where, and I know you said you haven't kept up as much, Frank, but like basically Jordan is on his track, on his way to becoming one of the GOATs. I mean, has done exceptionally well. But seeing this moment where Bananas is like, you'll never amount to anything and you'll da-da-da-da-da is just,
this was Jordan's second really season, I think. We had done Rivals 2 right before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that? Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen, but I'm not like uninformed. Obviously, I've seen like social media and things. And whenever I log on to Twitter, I, you know, the babies still keep me updated with challenge stuff. But I would say I wrote notes when I watched this, and I was like, my note was this the beginning of the battle of egos for Bananas and Jordan? Ooh, and I think it was. I think this is the inception.
Yes, it was.
Don't get me wrong. I think he has an incredible athletic prowess. I think Jordan is like really fantastic. And he's just like good at these challenges. I think that's also like a thing, being good at these challenges. But this was all based in ego, it seems like, for the two of them.
Yes.
Yes,
it was like a contest unlike no other.
What are some of your other notes that you like? Run through Frank's notes. Let's talk about each point. Let's run through.
Right. We should have this as a thing notes. on our podcast. Frank's notes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Doctor's notes? Sure, let's do it. Yes. Here we go. Here's the doctor's notes for episode 5. We've got Teresa voting for Laurel. I wrote savage. I thought, or not voting for Laurel, rather, like saying, I want to get her out, and then being like, Jasmine, or whoever she voted for to throw under the bus. That was wild.
Teresa.
And I'm sorry, Jasmine. My vote's for you.
Teresa votes for Jasmine? You mean this woman, this Joan of Arc that came in here, torches blazing to go for Laurel, just voted Jasmine? So now we look like the heads going after Laurel, and she's sitting up there shaking all nervous? What the hell?
And then I wrote, what do we think hurt worse, hitting the water in that challenge or Teresa's broken bones from Devin, you throwing her under the bus when you told Laurel immediately?
I mean, we didn't even go upstairs. upstairs yet. We didn't even make it upstairs.
I just think that you should know and be aware that there was a ringleader amongst that voting that then turned coat sitting right there so that it looked like she had nothing to do with it.
That's good to know.
And I think you know who I'm talking about.
I do. Thank you.
And you know what? I'm not going to lie. Watching The Fresh Eyes, so the way I remember it in my heart is that I really felt bonded. Like, Teresa and I had really hit it off. Like, I really felt very close with Teresa, which is why I really felt very betrayed when she flipped like that. Because, like, when I say that we were, like, buddy buddies in the house, we very much were. And so I just felt like I was really hurt by it. So when I then went and told Laurel, it was for two... My memory was that it was for two things. One, because I'd always, in that game, at least I'd played where if I voted for you, I usually gave you a heads up and I told you why. Like, it was never some surprise that I voted for you or whatever. That was just kind of my standard. So it was that. And then also because I was so hurt by Teresa. However, watching it back, look, the challenge editors played a clip of a snake through the grass before they cut to me talking about what Teresa did. And I'm not going to lie, watching it back, it actually does look shady as hell. It looks real shady and real, like, snake-ish, even though she did completely flip. I didn't look good in handling things the way that I did, especially because I teased her and said, I'm going to throw you in. And then I go, oh, I would never. But clearly, I would because it did.
It made for good TV. So I'm not mad.
It did make for good TV, but that is me owning my shit in that it was equally messy. My hands were not fully clean in that, and I could have handled it better. But I do stand by giving Laurel the heads up of what really happened because I don't think that was fair to like put all targets on all of us. And she's done it since then, from what I've heard.
It was wild. And I do fully understand your rationale here. Everything feels so monumentous and so big.
Yeah.
And like when you really feel like somebody's your friend and they go ahead and do that, you just like, it feels like a real true betrayal.
Yeah.
Like, and in real life, like how often do you actually experience that? Almost never. So like in that circumstance, you're like, oh my God, this is Shakespearean. I was stabbed in the back.
Totally.
And I get it. And every, you know, people are like, ask, like, if I were to go back, like, how would I play? And I always think that I would just be like a confessional gangster and like cut people left and right and be like, I'll do whatever I want. And I'll just like play this like really cutthroat game. But there's not a chance, knowing my person, that like I don't, you know, fall monumentously in love with someone as a friend, or, you know, we're just like, we're bonded. And then it comes to a situation where I got to cut them. And like, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always say you're going to play the game cold or play the game fully out, like up front, because it's too complicated.
Yeah. Things happen and you have to like be able to alter your strategy like immediately.
Yeah.
It can get messy. It definitely can get messy.
Honestly, props to Teresa for being that messy girl. I kind of loved it. That was like, I was like, she's really going for it.
It was smart in the end, too. It's like all of these things.
But she should have just owned up to her choice is the thing, right? Like, you're right. That was actually very smart, like, well played. But then her, like, I don't know why people come after me and everybody's just so mean. It's like, now look, you gotta, like, if you're gonna, you know, the same way Laurel owned up to her kill list, right? Was like, look, here's who I'm executing. That was iconic.
Okay, wait. Yes. So before we go any further, we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Okay, on my notes, I have episode 6 is for the girls. Are we going to episode 6? We got to wrap on 5.
We could talk about
episode. We could talk about episode six.
Six was for the girlies, and I was here for it. We got the Jordan and Bananas beef out in episode 5, and then this one became about the girls, and this one I loved because I loved the trivia challenge. It was so fun.
Teresa, what is the largest country in the world?
Canada.
The correct answer is Russia.
I forget about that place. Like, whoever thinks of Russia? I forgot they even exist.
All right, Devin, what is a female deer called?
A doe.
Just like the song, right? All right, Cara Maria, what continent does the USA belong to?
Continent? What is a continent? Continent is the word that is tripping me up. Continent.
The northern continent? I don't...
The correct answer is North America.
What the...
So hilarious.
And I loved that, like, the narrative was centered around all y'all girls. Even, like, from the jump in the van. And, like, you had the van of the allies.
Yes.
And the girls. Oh,
yes, we had a time in that van. We had a
I know
time.
That Devin had questioned some things. I didn't realize.
I may have.
Yeah.
I may have questioned some things that night in that van.
That's mm-hmm. the day that I was at. Nani and I are very similar kissers. And I said that to her. She was like, I'm a good kisser. I'm like, well, so clearly we're kissing each other. Like, just shut up. We didn't give a shit. None of us.
Yeah.
I don't know what we had. Oh, that's because we could drink before we left.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what happened? Is that why we were that
way? Oh, no. I mean, they didn't cast like unattractive people. So it wasn't like you were in a van with a bunch of, you know, people that weren't.
No, but we were just all like super uninhibited in that. I mean, it really was. That poor driver of that van that day.
I'm sure he had nothing. Yeah. He's had years of just footage in his mind.
He's still talking about that.
You would think that kind of behavior would happen like after the club. We were like, no. We're doing it before we get to Moby Dick's.
It's a definite pre-party. I loved it. What did you think, Frank, in watching the guys' van scene and where CT was like signed the release and just all of that dynamic that was playing out? What was your analysis of that?
Oh my God, next. Like, get out of here. Get out.
It was a mess.
And again, it's just like boys being like, who's got a bigger dick? And it's like, y'all, you know, who's got the biggest dick is Preston because he's getting it wet over on the other bus. Look at him.
Right.
Please.
Hey,
right. So true.
It is. And it, like, not a care in the world. The other bus was just so, like, dry and angry. And I was like, are we in the same place? Like, we're in Uruguay. We're getting paid to be here. We're doing cool shit. Mm-hmm. We're heading to the bar. Our bar. Moby Dick's.
And we get to go to McDonald's on Saturdays.
Right, you guys are acting like idiots.
Yeah.
I hated that. That was the tension van, and I was not for it. Watching it back made me uncomfortable.
Let's be real, though.
I just kind of laughed.
Yeah, who had more sexual tension? It was obviously CT and Jordan. Those two girls were them leaning in for the kiss. I can't believe we didn't get one. Maybe there was one off them.
I cannot.
They're not sign the release. It was like, sign me up for your OnlyFans, baby. Yeah.
Cannot. Oh my God. Hilarious. What are some of Dr. Fox's other notes?
I loved the trivia. I thought it was so funny, but like those questions were so wildly varied between person to person.
Mm-hmm. Like they were.
Like name the national language of Australia versus like spell disguise live here on the scene. Like get out of here. Those are not the same.
No, and yet, they're not.
They still got it.
And
wrong.
Not Leroy. Yeah. Skies. I don't know.
Oh my God.
It's so funny.
That was some of the best Hunter. And I just have to ask Anissa, which country has the most population, the highest
well,
population?
Well, see, let me explain what had happened. I was thinking, I know Africa's a continent. So I was like, oh shit. And then I'm like, Asia's a continent. And I knew about countries, but I was working through it, like out loud. And then trying to think of countries in Africa versus like China. Mm-hmm. So that upset me because I am smarter than that, and
but
it
grader.
Wasn't as bad as Dutch being the official language in Australia.
I cannot. That so, one, yeah, that was really, it was really awful. I mean, there were a lot that were quite. Wait, Mahatma Gandhi. Kara thinking that Gandhi was a famous boxer.
I'm just happy she got that name right.
I mean,
it's living somewhere in her brain, so we'll give it to her, right?
Like she's not there.
It's swimming. It's swimming up there.
I think there are some people that are super smart that are good at trivia that sometimes the heights gets to you, and there are people that have no clue what's going on land or above the ocean or body of water.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, and TJ, I love trivia because especially this season, because you get to see TJ's personality. Like you could tell how much fun TJ was having psyching us all out on different things and making you think, did you get it right? Did you not get it right? Like he was clowning people. He clowned Anissa when she went to water. He clowned me where I thought Pacific Ocean was wrong for a second and it was right. Like I love seeing TJ really kind of like shine who he is beyond just giving the rules and the whatever.
He's a
rascal. And I think trivia is such a great way to, he really is. He really
Frank,
is.
Frank, do you
to, like,
think.
See him have fun. What's
Frank,
that?
Do you think you would have done well at trivia?
Listen, I was so nervous y'all were going to make me try to spell something out loud. I don't know that I could. Spelling out loud
really?
Is so hard. If you're on the spot, like the other questions, like, yes, 1,000%. Those like the trivia questions, but like those spelling ones, I was like.
Spell irresistible.
Oh, okay. Well, that is not Jessica Simpson. She's irresistible. IRR. Okay. IRR. A-E-S-T-I-B-L-E.
That sounds about right. I don't actually even know.
I don't know either. I got to write it down.
Yeah, I think that's right. That is correct.
Irresistible.
But that vowel sounded like an E to me, which would make it correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is hard when you're up there and you don't have any point of reference.
No, I love that. I loved it. I loved your backflop, Anissa. I loved.
Listen, they held us on with like fishing wire and Nani was crying the whole time.
She was shaking.
I know. And my legs were fully hyperextended to the point where any doctor would have been concerned.
Yeah.
That's my anatomy.
Okay.
But it was, that was not a fun fall, but comparatively, it's not as bad as other things that I've done.
Yeah.
So I'll take, I'll take the dental floss over a lot of things.
Sorry. I've just been over here trying to figure out if I spelled irresistible correctly or not. I'm so
sorry. What?
I'm like, yeah, did I just make a fool of my, yeah, I hope. I don't know. We don't know.
Well,
wait, you said an E, right? You said
sure. I said yeah.
IRRESTIBL. People are listening to this podcast and be like, these people are stupid. we're not. Yeah. We're smart. We just
yeah, that's right.
Devin, that like playground intimidation technique with the magic marker and Laurel and her kill list, I could
kill it.
Not.
Let's write it down.
Laurel then pulls a G move, and by G I mean gangster. Laurel is making her execution list. Let's just call it what it is.
One, two, three,
you're fifth, like before I even think of you.
Yeah. Think about what the odds are of me coming back from an elimination, and then recognize that I will have no problem whatsoever saying your name.
Just take that into consideration.
She was like, I'll see you on the playground, bitch. Like,
it was hilarious because I remember going to her. And again, the reason you see me talking to her is because I had a thing where I always would tell people if I was going to be voting for you. That was just my own personal standard. And I actually feel like many people in the house ended up kind of doing that. And we saw, who was it? Someone asked Zach if they were going to tell Swift that he was voting for him. And Zach was like, no. But that kind of became, I think, CTF that. But yeah, we kind of would tell people. And so I was just talking to her. And I remember literally going in kind of confidently, but being like, okay, look, I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. Like, this is what I decided. And she pulled out that kill list. And I remember just the power dynamics of that moment. 100, like, just did a complete 180. I am not going to lie. And even though I was the one in charge of voting or whatever, that girl 100% took the power in her own hands. And I remember leaving that meeting being like, well, definitely not voting Laurel in. Like, I'm just like, that was, that's
she took,
that.
She took the Crayola in her own hands and she said, I'm going to write this out.
She that light blue marker. That's very her, you know, and that was very her in the moment. And I still feel pieces of, like, not the list as much anymore, but I understand her more now. And I think that changes the dynamic of, like, our friendship. Because then was a whole other.
Yeah, you were gunning for her, for sure.
I wasn't really gunning for her until when she came for me. I was like, oh, all right, sis, that's how we're going to play this. But I would have just kept her off the table until before the final, and then I would have thrown her in.
I would have, too, if Therese hadn't tricked me into voting for her. I will say this, that she was true to her word, which I appreciated, which is the thing I didn't appreciate about Therese. So she and I had that conversation. And it was true. She never came after me. Now, look, I know I'm not a threat for her in any capacity, but still, it was never, whether I performed well on a daily or not, or blah, 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 like, from that point forward, even though I had voted her in that time before, it was, she was, you know, up and up, and that I appreciated and valued.
I don't think she cared as much about whether you were a threat or not. It was, like, more about, like, integrity and how she felt you played the game. I really feel like now that I've played a game with her and we've kind of been, like, on the same side of things, understanding her more so, that, like, she's not really condescending. She's, like, just doesn't know certain shit. So, like, it could come off the wrong way.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she kind of played like Kyle Jordan. We were very, like, straight shooters. Like, this is how we're playing.
Yep.
If we have to go down, we have to go down. We have to, you know, do certain things, but we're not going to sit here and, like, just lie to everybody. But there has to be some type of strategy here. And she just decided to put it in a book and take it around with her. Yeah. And it drove me crazy. I'm like, she's writing about, she's journaling about, like, how she's going to kill me right now. Literally.
The book. The book. I'm jury's out for me on her. She was never unkind to me. So I don't have anything negative to say. Right. Like, but I just don't understand her, like, maybe like her psyche, her approach to the game. Like, you know what I mean?
I think she's very formulaic, because I agree. I actually really like Laurel and always have, and we've never had an issue. And outside of the game, she's been very supportive. She used to come over to my house with her dog Louie way back in the day around the challenge days. Like, I really like Laurel in that way. But I feel like she you know, she's been described as robotic, and I think that's an extreme, but I do think she's very pragmatic. It's like a very black and white thing when she plays, whereas the rest of us, even if we're trying to play with pragmatism, there's emotion gets involved, you know, like you said earlier. And he's like, if you feel a friend betrayed you, or if you feel this, or like the power dynamics was that, you know, there are feelings, even of the most kind of like logical of us, feelings get involved and kind of muddy things up. And for her, even when feelings are involved, it's still pretty like
cut and dry,
black and white. I hear that.
Yeah, it was just interesting to watch, because it was like a full-on intimidation technique, right? I was just like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't there to see it. So like, if I had been there, I would have, it's just like such an interesting thing to see and like almost debrief on. I would have loved to have debriefed on that in the moment and been like, yo, what?
Yeah, I was there to see it and it was impressive. You know, it was a masterclass. I respect it, still do. Come to me with a list anytime. And I also think I'm glad I told her instead of riding with Teresa, who would have thrown me in anyway.
Yeah, lists can be problematic though, and we've seen that in more recent challenges.
Yes.
But
yes. Yeah. Michaela, was that who it was? Michaela got voted off episode one because she wrote a list down and people found it.
Awesome.
And then she tried to deny about it. Yeah. And then girl was gone before the credits.
I was looking
even
through everything trying to find everything. I was at least trying to find evidence.
Wait, you were going through people's bags looking for stuff?
Okay, relax. Her backpack, I looked in her bed area and I may have peeked in an open pocket of a backpack. She used
not
to write
shit
down.
Her underwear drawer.
No, I didn't do that. She kept everything in her backpack. She didn't even, I don't even know if she, there were so many people in that house, I don't even know if she had a drawer.
Yeah.
Like there was just no space for clothes.
Yeah.
But I did research and she actually was like, oh, well, I fuck with you because you actually tried to find something to back up, you know,
right,
speculation instead of just
whatever.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Taking people's word for it.
That's
and
fair.
I was like, well, thank you.
Who's this? Was it Michaela, like from Survivor, Michaela?
Yeah.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I loved her on Survivor as a fan. Love.
Mm. You would have loved her in the half of episode she was in at the challenge, too.
Yeah, we would have had a fun little kiki for 15 minutes.
And then she got kicked out. Hopefully she comes back, because I don't think she got a fair shake to, like, show.
Yeah, no,
what
she and
can
she
do on this
she
show.
Was good. She was right behind us in that first one.
Yeah.
And if I would have gotten anything a little slower, the puzzle wise, like she would have beat us. So it just,
yeah,
she's a good competitor and yeah, but definitely, definitely good for TV.
Yeah. Mm. What are your other takeaways from this? Actually the breakdown of Camilla.
Right now, I'm just hoping that I'm able to keep it together. I'm struggling to stay in the game.
Come on, Camilla.
I still don't understand why she broke down so much going against Teresa in that. It seemed out of character, like just weird that she cried with the pole breath. Like she just gave up. She literally just like
she didn't have
up.
Anything
any
left.
Any thoughts on?
I don't think.
I think
I know,
it was,
but
there was something else going on.
I was
legitimately sad watching it. Like it was sad looking at her crying in the sand like that. Like to you were watching the manifestation of somebody like giving up. In a very
yeah.
real sense. And it was just like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. It was sad there. It was, yeah, it was, because it didn't feel like, you know, I mean, people do, eventually one person loses gas in the tank, right? That's how someone gets eliminated every time. And you can see it and there's, but this seemed just like a break, like
yeah.
a real crumbling, which was.
Like, I don't know if it was that fight or whatever else had like taken a toll on her where she was like, I don't think I can do this game, period.
Mm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think. She did leave at the right time. I forget we had a conversation after this show, and she had said something to me. So it could have been more than that.
Yeah.
Watching back, Frank, who would you say, like, from the Frank now, looking at the characters that were then, who are the, like, 3 to 5 people that you think Frank now would have been or would be friends with? Like as they were, not whoever they are now, but just, like, you're sitting out
as
here.
As they were in
looking,
the moment?
Yeah, as they were in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, y'all, we had fun.
We did.
I would say probably Jonay. Jonay and I were always close. We always had a fun time. And even in like, you know, we shared stuff outside of the show, even up until this point, that like we hit lows or we hit highs, we like did it together. And she's a loyal friend.
Yeah.
For
mm-hmm.
sure. Like you can discount her on whatever you'd like, but like loyalty is certainly not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not discounting her on shit. She won two. She
yeah,
baby,
you know she's a champion.
Oh, yeah, she's
like,
a, I do know that.
Back
now.
To back.
Yeah.
Back to back.
I know. And a mom.
I know.
And a
yeah.
mom.
It's amazing. Mama John A.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think like if I'm honest with myself, I was always buddies with Isaac. I love him.
He's
yeah.
incredible.
Isaac is
such
hilarious.
A sweetie.
He's so funny.
So funny.
And like and I just don't feel like he doesn't have like a bad. He doesn't have nothing insidious about him. He's just like there
for
fun.
I agree.
He's like a fun-seeking person, which is like a really attractive
yeah.
thing.
Do we remember what Swift did to cause Isaac to put on all of Swift's clothes and get in the hot tub?
Wait, no. No.
No.
No, wait, no. What did he do?
I don't remember. But he put on Swift's. You know how Swift would always come with like a blazer and like a scarf and shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he
Swift,
would.
Where
he
are
did.
You going that we didn't get invited yeah. to? What
he
event?
Was serving, like, he was just like giving like literary realness all the time. Yeah. He was just like, yes. He was on his way to a book signing. I was yes.
every
wild.
Day. And then he did something to piss Isaac off. And Isaac, instead of being malicious, like this wasn't mean spirited, but it was funny, put on his trousers, his loafers, a shirt, maybe even a blazer, and then went and sat in our hot tub with it all on. And that's what kind of person Isaac is. So I love him and I miss him. Shout out to Isaac.
Yeah.
He's great. I had a wild New Year's Eve with him once in Mexico City. Like truly Ooh. One of the wildest nights of my so adult life. It was
Ooh.
It was something for the books. It's something that we do not talk about on this podcast. It's like that.
Oh, I was like, Anissa and I both were leaning in like, okay, wait, do tell.
You know what I regret though, from looking back and like seeing who I'd be friends with? I regret not like trying to build a better relationship with Preston. And I think it's because like you know, at the time it was almost like there was only space for one queer person. There's only space for one gay guy. Mm-hmm. Like truly, like it always felt like that. It always felt like there was only enough air for one of us. And that like there was this weird unspoken competition that, you know, someone had to be the dominant. And I just don't think I think that narrative is far and gone from my life now. And I would have loved to have like developed a better relationship with him back in the day.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah, that is really sweet.
That's the truth. I really do think about that.
Frank, we didn't, to circle back, there's no way to properly segue this, so I'm just going to go into it. What did your husband think when he watched on the show? Because you said before he was like, okay, I have to see it. So what did he think?
Yeah, so I think he, you know, like looking back through the lens, he was like sort of grossed out by like just the interactions in general, if I'm totally honest. Mm-hmm. He was just like, I can't believe that these were issues that became so explosive or so like gigantic. And as far as like we only watched like an episode or two. So as far as like my behavior went, and I gave him the worst of it. I wanted to show him like when I was at my worst behavior. He was just like, look, you're a kid. Like he was like, I can see that you're a kid and you're mad. And like,
yeah.
I would be sad too if someone didn't like me because I was gay. Like, this is wild. This is a crazy thing. And so it was like almost like sort of like validating to understand that like my feelings were not necessarily incorrectly placed, but the articulation of those feelings, the like lashing out, all of that can be fixed. And, you know, I'm sort of happy that I'm incredibly happy with my life as it exists today. And I'm incredibly happy I did the show because I got the opportunity to like see those parts of me and work on them very, you know, authentically. Like, sure, it's cut, chopped, edited, whatever, but like, I still said it, did it, acted that way. Mm-hmm. And then I can make authentic change in my real life based on that behavior. What a gift. Are you kidding me? What a gift. And like you said, sure, my patient's at nada right now. Like, I live my own life. I do my own thing. We go on nice trips. We have nice things.
Yes.
We have nice shit all around us.
Yes.
Now I can represent myself better and I can articulate how I feel better. And I'm not afraid of conflict. I engage in conflict, but I can do it with finesse now. And that's like such a gift, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. With finesse. I love that. Okay. So is there anything else before we wrap? And come back anytime. I'm just going to, I know Anissa, Nini feels the same way. Come back literally anytime. You can come next week. You can come any week. But before we wrap, is there anything that you would want the listeners to know, just whether it is sort of the key lesson you've learned between that young Frank then to where you are now, whether it's something that you want, you know, kind of addressed or that you've never had a chance to speak on regarding the show, or if it's just you want to tell everybody to kick rocks with no socks and open-toed shoes. I don't know. But what is Frank's message to the people?
Ooh, that's a big thing to you know, take your home on. But I would just say, like, for us who were contestants on the show, reality TV personalities, for the cast as it exists today, for the cast across a lot of reality shows, just like approach stuff with love, y'all. Like, We are people. We are learning. We are putting ourselves out there to learn so that you can learn from us too. Like, there are so many opportunities on reality TV. It is such an insanely cool forum. As again, it's like Chopped and Screwed or whatever as it is. You catch authentic moments that like no screenwriter as good as they could be could ever write. And like, that's magic, man. Like, even in these competition shows, you really do. You'll catch shit that like you would never think. Watching RuPaul's Drag Race, you catch shit that you would never think that could like radically change your life. And I think just approach stuff with love and understand that, like, for the most part, we're growing, we're changing, and we're adapting to the things that we see too. So like, you don't gotta remind us that we were shitheads. We know we're shitheads, and we're making and we're doing the work. At least I hope we are. I hope we
are. Yeah, some of us are doing the work.
Yeah.
But you know. Yeah. Oh, beautifully said. Beautifully said. Nini, you have such a content smile on your face.
Need more time with Frank.
I know.
I would love to get drinks with y'all if we were all in the same city.
Oh my god!
That'd be so fun.
Listen, I went to Austin once. It was brief. It wasn't a great trip. I hated it, so I have to come back and make.
Come back. I got space, and I got our pool is almost done. It's been almost done for about 10 months, but it's almost done.
I just want to get harassed by your dogs, and that's it. And have wine the best. And talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dan's pretty great too.
And your husband.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah. I would
love tell to Dan we're the normal ones. We're
normal. He knows. He knows.
That would be fun. We should my maid of honor she lives in Austin, actually. So
It's fun. It's a great city. It's really fun. Y'all come visit.
Yeah, we y'all will have to do that. Now, for those, I know he's picking up a y'all.
Y'all
for those who
visit?
Want to keep up with Dr. Fox. Where can they find you on social?
Oh, Twitter. I'm on Twitter. No, it's not a secret. I just don't really have anything.
Okay.
Still on Twitter. I'm still watching. I'm still like maybe giving you a little like commentary on Housewives every now and then on Twitter. And then I'm definitely giving you some political commentary. I'm mostly here for fun, mama. So like, I'm not really doing a whole hell of a lot on social media right now, but you can still follow me on Twitter if you'd like, and you'll get a tweet about politics every other week.
What's your Twitter handle for those who don't know?
It's just Frank Sweeney Fox.
There you go. Frank Sweeney Fox. For those who also just want to send your love and say that they miss you.
I've never said I would not go back. It's not gone forever.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, let me know so I can possibly show up.
Baby, we're doing it together. Please.
I know. I got you. We might not be doing like body shots this time, but we're drinking wine and talking shit together.
No,
respectfully,
we're not doing body shots. We're like taking B12 in the back, just like
right. Literally.
Listen, I have mine by Sunday through Saturday. That's how it's lined up. AM, PM vitamins. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's gotta happen.
No, I've never ruled it out. It would be fun.
Agreed. Frank, as expected, this was such a delight and such a joy, and it can't be this long again. We can't make it this long, and I will own my part in it in not keeping in touch because it's so great to talk to you.
It's really great. Congratulations. Like, have the best, absolute best wedding. Anissa, it's so good to see you. And my partner and I, we go back to Philly. We're gonna good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see y'all later.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Oh, time with Francis. How lovely. It's been so long. My goodness. I love these rewatches. It's cool to like talk to people who we've not heard from in a very long time. Anissa, for people yes. who don't want it to be a long time between when they hear from you, those who want to follow you on social, where can they find you?
I'm still on Twitter and you probably have been adding me, but I still can't log in. And you know what? I've had some thrilling couple of months. So don't follow me there, but you can follow me on Instagram at Anissa MTV. That's AnEESAMTV on Instagram. I still can't change my name there either, but that's where you can find me. And Devin, but at least it's, what?
It's consistent that they can find you. Like,
right.
You're not changing
that's
your
one
name.
Thing about me. I'm consistent.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true.
And for you, Devin, where can they find all things Devin?
I'm consistent, but I'm also redundant, which means you can find me at Devin Simone, DevynSimone, on all things. So you can go to devinsimone.com, scroll to the bottom and see all the socials. You can go to Devin Simone on Instagram, Devin Simone on Twitter or TikTok. You could also go to Roku and watch me on my project called Match Me in Miami. Just look for Devin Simone there. Yeah, or Amazon, all the things. Even though my last name will be changing soon, but it'll really still, all my accounts will still be Devin Simone. All right, and then once you do that, because I know you like this up, because show Frank some love, show us some love. We love having you here. Please rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or both. And tell a friend, tell all your friends, tell your neighbors, you know, tell that squirrel that keeps coming in your yard, like whatever. Just tell the people. We greatly appreciate it so much.
And remember, you can watch The Challenge Free Agents along with us right now for free. Go to ParamountPlus.com and use code CHALLENGEPOD to try 1 month free. Terms apply.
And then we'll see you and the squirrel right back here next week for a brand new episode of, and we're all inclusive, of ITV's official Challenge podcast. The squirrel's favorite place to be.
I was going to say it's going to be nuts.
Oh, I love it! Yes!
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.